Chapter 35. Valkyrie's bridge was dead silent. I could hear the familiar whoosh of recycled air in the vents and the barely audible rumble of unseen machinery beneath the deck, but the crew was staring at Skippy, stunned. It took me a moment to remember how my mouth worked. Sentinel? Based on the data, it looks like a Sentinel destroyed that planet. But even if some idiot did use Elder weapons, that will wake up a Sentinel. Either way, it... Oh my God. One of my knees buckled, and I had to grab the back of a pilot couch to stop from falling. Still, I sank to the deck on one knee, shaking off Strebick's offer to help me. I don't understand it. Skippy's voice sounded like he was far away. All the missing ships, and now the planet blown up, are in an area covered by the same wormhole network, one of the networks we crashed for the demonstration. But we didn't actually... Skippy! I croaked, my mouth too dry to get the words out. We didn't actually do what, sir? Strebick asked in a voice as shaky as my own. Power flow, I blurted out before Skippy could say anything. Even faced with the end of everything, I instinctively acted to protect OPSEC. Crashing the wormhole networks didn't interrupt the flow of power into higher dimensions of space-time. Doing that might have provoked a response. But we didn't do that, right, Skippy?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This doesn't make any sense, Joe. Nothing we did should have activated a freaking Sentinel. If I had known, Oh, I feel sick. This is all my fault. I wish...
It is my fault, I insisted, hearing my words as if someone else was talking. It was my call. You just executed the plan I approved.
General,
my XO was recovering faster than I was.
If you didn't cut the power flow, it might not be anyone's fault.
A Sentinel is now awake in an area where we screwed with the wormholes. That can't be a coincidence. Thanks for the vote of confidence, but...
Skippy, that entire planet had only 40,000 inhabitants? It...
She must have realized how callous that sounded.
I'm not minimizing the loss of life, sir. That isn't much for a habitable world.
What are you getting at, XO? I asked.
This particular wormhole network where the Sentinel is operating, does it cover any heavily populated worlds?
No, I replied, without needing Skippy to provide the answer. The networks we faked crashing across 4,000 light-years were selected specifically because they covered a lonely section of the Perseus arm. Despite Skippy's assurances that the network closure would be so temporary it was an inconvenience more than a threat, I felt we needed to minimize the possibility of cutting off major population centers in case he was wrong and those wormholes didn't return to normal. Did I insist on doing that because I failed to trust the awesomeness? No. I did that because I know the awesomeness can be awesomely absent-minded. The last thing we needed was one or both of the senior species panicking after Skippy announced with a spine-tingling, well, heh-heh, that he had forgotten something important. So the answer to Strebick's question was no. There were no heavily populated star systems within the area we used for the demonstration. That is why the senior species had to send task forces there to inspect the wormholes. They didn't already have major military installations in the area. Having to answer that question also reminded me that my new XO wasn't with us back then. Sims had been involved in the discussions about selecting networks to crash. You've seen the star chart of the networks we crashed? I asked. She nodded. It's an irregular-shaped blob because networks come in different sizes and shapes. We excluded networks that had wormholes with a lot of traffic, I explained. What I did not explain was the reason for excluding those networks was so Valkyrie did not risk being seen while Skippy set up the networks to fake the crash. Damn, lying is so freaking complicated. Really, I do not recommend it. There is too much to remember.
Assuming there is a Sentinel in that area, how do you know it was awakened recently? She asked.
It seems logical to... I stopped talking in mid-thought.
Why don't you just tell me what you're thinking?
Sir, I read reports of your previous missions.
there was an incident when you temporarily took back command of the Flying Dutchman when you encountered a damaged sentinel?
Yeah. I shuddered a bit at recalling the terror of that time when a killer thing lurked in the shadows and we couldn't see it. We barely escaped. Skippy had to distract it with a T-bone steak, basically.
That sentinel didn't just wake up recently, she noted. Not according to Skippy's analysis.
Oh, Joe! The beer can grasped at the straw. She's right. The sentinel we encountered had been trapped near that star system for a very long time, probably since the war. Part of the reason it was damaged is because it had been awake for so long. They weren't designed for continuous operation. It was also lonely. Wow. Now that I think about it, I feel terribly sorry for it. I was alone for a long time, but for most of that, I wasn't conscious. I can't imagine that, Skippy. Can we solve one problem at a time, please? I tried to keep him focused. Are the two of you, I looked from his avatar to my executive officer, seriously suggesting this other sentinel has been awake all this time and it is pure coincidence that only now it is destroying ships and tearing apart a planet? I don't know, Joe, he admitted. Maybe it was quiet until a Rindaloo task force arrived and annoyed it. We know the spiders launched a major effort to examine the wormholes we, crashed, he stuttered. It could be the intensive scanning they used triggered something.
Really?
Hey, it could have happened, he stuck to his story. I don't know how to trigger a sentinel. It's possible the spiders use the right frequency or something like that.
You don't know how to activate a sentinel?
Strebik addressed the question to Skippy, but she looked at me. No, sorry.
I thought, she bit her lower lip, your purpose in the power-sharing arrangement set up by the Elders was to identify targets and point the Sentinels at the threat. They are the weapons. You handle targeting, and the AIs of your ships provide transport for you.
Correct. To avoid master AIs like myself from having too much power, we can't use weapons or move ourselves around. Ship AIs can move and use the limited weapons of their ships, but they can't give instructions to Sentinels. The Sentinels can move and use their own horrific weapons, but they can't decide which targets to attack. My XO was still confused.
How are you supposed to point Sentinels at a target if you don't have the codes to activate?
Ah! Skippy raised a hand. I see the problem. Colonel Strebik, I used to have those codes. Now I can't remember them. I mean, I think I can't remember them. Also, I suspect any codes I had were rendered useless in the last stages of the AI war.
The other side changed the codes? She guessed.
No, they wouldn't be able to do that. The architecture of a Sentinel's control system doesn't allow alteration of codes. That feature was written in to prevent one master AI from locking out all the others. What I think happened, this is based on very hazy memories, is the communication channel used for targeting was scrambled. No one can send instructions to a Sentinel now.
They woke up when the Maxalks used Elder weapons against the Rindaloo, she noted. Then they went to sleep again.
Yes, Skippy shook his head, the ginormous hat flopping side to side. I can't explain that, and it does bother me. Also, keep in mind the Maxalks say the spiders attacked them. I truly do not know who shot first.
Han shot first, I muttered.
Listen, it doesn't matter. A freaking sentinel is awake out there, and it destroyed an entire planet. Shit.
Skippy, does anyone else know a sentinel probably destroyed that planet?
No, not for certain, though there is a lot of speculation going on right now. Everyone who knows about the incident is understandably terrified.
Right.
XO, we need to get to Earth pronto before someone else brings this happy news there first and blames us for this latest disaster. She stared at me.
After that, sir, what do we do?
Against a sentinel? I don't know there is anything we can do. Skippy? We can run away really fast, he suggested.
That was less than helpful.
Other than that, Joe, I got nothing. Sorry. We were already on the way to Earth when we hit up the relay station for info, and we couldn't get there any faster than we planned, so really nothing had changed aboard the ship. Except that everything had changed. Before, the unsolvable problem was human nature.
rivalries between nations getting in the way of a unified response against the alien threat to our homeworld. Nationalism, tribalism, whatever you want to call it. That problem wasn't something the pirates could do much about, and maybe there wasn't anything that could be done other than sweeping our differences under the rug for a while, giving time for tensions to cool down. Sweeping differences under the rug. That's always a good idea, in my experience. It worked for me in the barracks during basic training. We came from all parts of the U.S. of A., different regional, political, and family backgrounds, and we didn't all agree, even on important stuff. Most of the time, we were hungry and tired and sore, and fights could have broken out. To ensure good unit order and discipline, our sergeant stopped us any time the conversation turned to a sensitive subject. "Talk about something else," he ordered. "Pretend that Bishop is not some asshole from Maine who puts maple syrup on his grits. Just ignore it and focus on your job." Maybe we could do that. Pretend that one UNEF member state didn't just try to sell us out to the enemy. The point is, political strife on Earth is an issue we humans could do something about. It might be unrealistic to think we actually would do something, but the problem was within our power to solve. A freaking sentinel on the loose, rampaging across the galaxy? That problem did not have a solution. The whole crew knew about the latest danger we faced, and they did not roll their eyes and mutter something about Groundhog Day. This was not the usual impossible challenge the merry band of pirates had to tackle. Not even the pirates, or Valkyrie, or Skippy the Magnificent, or even all the king's horses and all the king's men could put a sentinel back in the box. Okay, I know I'm mixing metaphors, but you know what I mean. I was in my office, trying to write a report, but only managing to revise the same paragraph over and over, when Strebick walked in. That was a change from Sims. My new XO took my open-door policy at face value. If the door was open, anyone could walk in. "Sir, are you busy?" "I am, but I'm not getting anywhere." I slapped my laptop closed with disgust. "We're recharging for the next jump," Strebick explained, repeating information available on the wall display next to my office door. "Major Sobantrio has the con." I snorted. It was good for new people to get experience as duty officer on the bridge, so we rotated the duty often. But with the ship in deep interstellar space, drifting while waiting for the capacitors to build up a charge to jump again, there wasn't anything for the duty officer to do. There wasn't really anything for the pilots to do either. At least they could run flight simulations on their consoles. Sometimes during the dead time while the ship is waiting to jump, the ship did fire the main engines to get us lined up to go through the next wormhole, or to speed up, or slow down, or change direction to match whatever star system was our destination. At that moment, we were moving on a vector that was a good compromise between the next two wormholes, and the engines were offline. Before we went through the last wormhole on the way to Earth, our main engines would have to burn hard to match course and speed with Earth, so we didn't zip right by. That is an annoying fact about going between our home system and Fav Jaguar. Earth is closer to the center of the Milky Way, and Jaguar is behind our home star system in their paths orbiting the galactic center. So the forward operating base's star is going through space at a different speed and direction than our sun. The planets of the Jaguar system orbit their star on a plane tilted 70 degrees from Earth's orbit. Plus, although Earth and Jaguar have roughly the same orbital period, Jaguar taking 18 extra days to go around its star, they are about opposite, with Earth going this way and Jaguar going that way. Just going from one... Sorry. Damn. I've been hanging around Professor Nerdnik for too long. "Sit down, Strebick. Coffee?" I lifted the half-full carafe of still-hot coffee. She shook her head. "After hearing a sentinel is probably out there, I am as wide awake as I can get, sir." "Yeah," I agreed, contemplating the cup of coffee I was drinking more from habit than need. "Are you ready for this, XO?"
"I am, sir, but you're not."
What?
"Sims. You need Sims in the XO's chair, sir."
"Sims has
her own commands now, I know that. A single battlecruiser doesn't mean shit compared to the possibility of having to fight a sentinel out there. You need Sims for that."
"Strebick, I have confidence in your ability to..."
"I don't," she insisted. "Whatever crazy shit you've gotten into over the years, you put together a team with unique skills to make it happen. I don't know how you dream up ideas for Skippy to use his powers, but I do know my brain doesn't work like that. Sims and you work well together, however you do it. Humanity needs our A-team on this. Do you play baseball?
I did. It's been a while. You?
I played softball. One thing I know is never mess with a streak.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay, Strebik. You may be right about that.
That leaves you at loose ends. Listen, Chatterjee will need to backfill the captain's slot aboard Defiant. In my mind, there was no if regarding Sims taking a step back to rejoin the merry band of pirates. She would probably insist on coming aboard Valkyrie, even if I didn't request her to transfer back to the special mission group. Listen, whenever we get back to Jaguar, I can talk with... Thank you, sir. But command of Defiant should not go to another American in this current climate. Plenty of other countries are waiting for their chance to command a UN battlecruiser.
You're half German.
She tapped the American flag on her shoulder.
This says I'm 100% American. Everyone will see it that way. Besides, no offense to you and the pirates, but I'd rather be with the Gator Navy, sir.
She meant the two spaceborne cavalry groups based on former Jarapha assault transports with a mix of heavy cruisers and destroyers as escorts. The Navy had replaced losses of assault transports with newer ships provided by the Beatles, who threw into the deal four big-gun cruisers designed as orbital bombardment platforms. I remember the UN being suspicious at the easy terms offered by the Beatles, but their explanation was simple. They didn't have a major need for spaceborne assault assets, and the Legion did. Basically, if anyone was going to take risks by stirring up trouble, they preferred we do it. At least they were honest about it.
If the Legion has boots on the ground again, she continued, they need someone upstairs looking out for them.
Once a maverick, always a maverick. She nodded.
I'm proud of my time as a pirate, but I'd love to be a pilot again.
I know. Hell, I still think of myself as a grunt and I haven't been on an away mission in a long time. A planned away mission, I corrected myself, since Skippy bailing on us had resulted in me landing on an alien world and being chased through the bush by murderously pissed off lizards.
Once a grunt, always a grunt, sir, she grinned.
You wanting to be with the Gator Navy? That wouldn't have anything to do with your fiancé being aboard a destroyer.
He is? I'd forgotten about that, she replied with a twinkle in her eyes.
Immediately her expression turned serious again.
The Legion isn't going anywhere. None of us are going anywhere if the pirates don't chase away the big bad Sentinel.
Shit. I'm hoping we can just avoid the damned thing.
There isn't anything we can do, Skippy can do, to stop one of those things?
No, I told her. Which was not a lie and also not quite the whole truth. There was a really, truly stupid idea rolling around in the back of my head. I hadn't mentioned it to anyone, not even Skippy, because I was hoping I never would need to tell anyone about it. Also because if I had to tell Skippy, all I can say is, well, he very much would not like it. Like Skippy said, if a Sentinel attacks, all we can do is run. If we can, I added. Skippy is our expert on the subject, so... I looked away. We had the most feared warship in the galaxy, yet compared to the power of an unstoppable elder-killing machine, our battlecruiser was a rowboat. The last time we encountered a Sentinel, we were in the good old Flying Dutchman, hardly the best weapons platform in the UN Navy. If we had been aboard our mighty Valkyrie back then, it would not have made any difference.
What's the plan, sir, when we get to Earth?
Inform command and await orders.
They will expect you to have a plan.
Shit. Probably. After they get done yelling at me for not anticipating this. She didn't give me the side eye, just turned her head slightly away. Then I realized she was expecting Skippy's avatar to appear on my desk.
You really had no idea this could happen?
No. Because a certain absent-minded beer can assured me it couldn't happen. Hey! He launched into a protest even before his hologram shimmered to life. How was I supposed to know? This is not the first time you have been completely 100% wrong about something, you ass. Ugh!
He did the full dramatic eye roll, which included tossing his head back, shrugging his shoulders, and bending his knees.
Joe, all my past mistakes only look bad because you remember them.
My mouth dropped open. I had no words.
Strebick didn't help.
That is solid logic, sir.
See? Skippy appreciated having a new ally. Think about that, dum-dum.
Shit.
He was technically correct, which is the best kind of correct.
How about you focus on figuring out what you did wrong just this time?
Dude, I've been trying to do that. It doesn't make sense. The effect on the wormholes in those networks was no different from other shit I've done dozens or 100 times.
But, Strebick looked between Skippy and me, that time you crashed a network, several networks.
Yes, I agreed quickly before Skippy could speak.
What Skippy means is the effect on power flow was no different.
Right, Skippy?
Yeah.
He giggled nervously.
What he said.
My exo did give me the side eye that time, but she didn't pursue the question.
Command will want a recommendation.
Command will want my head on a platter, I groaned.
It's okay. I've gotten numb to being chewed out by the brass.
You'd think they would have gotten numb to you bringing bad news about your latest screw-up, but Skippy sighed.
No.
My response was to flip him the bird.
You are an endless source of comfort, Skippy. I'm just saying, you know?
How about next time you...
Oh, I waved a hand. Forget it.
XO, you're right. I can't go to Earth without at least a range of options to offer.
Like what, Joe?
Skippy had his little hands on his hips.
Hey, you're the Sentinel expert. I glared back at him. What do you suggest? A recon mission?
We could do that.
Or, he stared at me, we could do what humans do most often about a problem. Ignore it and hope it goes away.
That's not actually a bad idea, sir.
Strebick tapped a finger against her lip as she interrupted me, something Sims rarely did.
I was going to say that is not actually a plan, but
go ahead, XO.
We think we know, she corrected herself. There is one Sentinel operating in a relatively isolated area. Maybe like the last time Sentinels woke up, this one will go back to sleep on its own.
That's a big if. I couldn't believe I was being advised not to do something. Unless we learn otherwise, we have to assume a Sentinel is active out there, that we somehow woke it up, and that it will not just go away. That makes it our responsibility.
I agree, sir.
Strebick stared back at me.
I didn't mean that as an attack on you, XO.
We have a bias for action, she reminded me. This may be a case where anything we do might only make the problem worse. All I'm saying is we should at least consider adopting a watch and wait posture.
If it lets us.
Sir?
Skippy, do you know the operating area of this Sentinel?
No, sorry.
Do they have a defined area, like one per wormhole network?
Yes and no. Each Sentinel is assigned to a primary area, but they can move around if directed to reinforce other units. I don't have a map of the galaxy divided by Sentinels, but I do know their borders are not defined by wormhole network boundaries.
Why do you want to know?
Because there are heavily populated planets just outside the area of the networks we crashed. If that Sentinel decides to attack one of those worlds, doing nothing will not be an option for us.
There isn't anything we can do, Joe, Skippy reminded me.
I told you that.
You have done the impossible before.
Strebick's mouth turned up in a grin, but she wasn't smiling with her eyes.
I appreciate the pep talk, XO. Let me think about it. I'll put together a range of options, and we'll review before we go through the last wormhole.
After Strebick left my office, I asked Skippy to stay for a minute.
I am always here, Joe. You don't need my avatar to talk with me.
It's easier to have a conversation when I can see you.
That is why you created an avatar, isn't it?
Yes. Well, that plus the opportunity to screw with people, like when my avatar appears unexpectedly while someone is in the shower, or they wake up and I'm standing on their chest. I covered my face with my hands.
Skippy, you really do not need to say every single damn thing that pops into your mind.
But you said honesty is the best policy.
Yeah, I might have been wrong about that.
Pressing a button under my desk, my office door slid closed.
Listen, I'm worried about this. The Sentinel.
I'm worried too, Joe.
Is this the part where a good friend would tell you that everything will be all right? That you will dream up a way to get us out of this mess like you have done so many times?
It is.
Honesty is not the best policy, then?
We both know this time is different. Before, we could always rely on your incredible awesomeness.
To be accurate, we have relied on you dreaming up some crazy way for me to deploy my awesomeness.
Thanks.
That's the problem.
He folded his arms across his chest.
I'm not following you.
This time we can't use your awesomeness. You were designed specifically to not have the ability to screw with Sentinels, right?
Oh, shit. Yes.
Then we're screwed.
I'm going to use my incredible empathy power here, and guess that is not what's really bothering you.
It's not?
No.
Are you gonna mope around or talk to me?
Okay. I took a breath.
When we started this, you said my best asset is being so ignorant I don't know what questions not to ask. That, like, being stupid is an advantage out here. An advantage to you.
Yes.
So?
So I'm not that dumb kid anymore. I'm a freaking general now. I know stuff. I can fly a dropship. Hell, I wrote a training manual about space combat. Now TRADOC has the whole UN Navy using that manual. I spend more time thinking about policy than I do playing video games. Maybe I've lost what made me special, you know?
He chuckled. Let me understand this.
He was laughing so hard tears ran down his holographic face.
You are... This is a good one. You are worried that you are now too smart?
Oh, shut up. I don't know why I bother talking to...
His head tilted and his jaw dropped open.
Look at me. I'm Joe Bishop. I'm smart.
He snorted, talking like he was a brain-dead Barney.
Why are you such an asshole?
When did you get so arrogant?
Don't answer that. Joe... Listen to me.
He tried to stop laughing.
On an intelligence scale of, let's say, 1 to 100, where 1 is a dog and 100 is a particularly bright Rindaloo, you were a 2.5 when we met. Now, you're a 2.6. That's being generous.
You know, I tried to talk about something serious with you, and you,
I am being serious, numbskull. You dreamed up the notion to fake a wormhole network crash.
That was months ago. Sims figured out how to fake it a second time. I couldn't help shooting a guilty glance at the firmly closed door.
Ugh. So now you're worried we can't deal with the Sentinel threat because the sack of disorganized mush in your skull won't think up something clever?
Right.
That's the reason we can't stop an unstoppable killing machine. Not because I have reached the limit of my awesomeness. I am so glad you are focusing on what's really important.
Sorry.
He sniffed, turning up his nose and looking away from me.
I'm sincerely sorry that I thought only of my own stupid problems.
You're really scared about this, buddy?
Terrified, Joe.
That this Sentinel will go on a rampage and kill billions of people?
Huh?
Oh, I meant I'm terrified that billions of monkeys who now worship me as a godlike being will see that even I have limits to my power. But let's go with the rampage thing if you like.
Skippy, the next time I want to have a heart-to-heart talk with you, remind me not to waste my time.
Hey, I'm not the one who was worried he had become too smart, he snickered.
Trust me, I am not worried about that anymore.
See? You feel better already. My work is done here.
With an audible pop, his avatar disappeared. He was right about something. I did feel better.